Well, today we are going to continue our message series called 10 as we work our way through the Ten Commandments this summer. At the beginning of this series, Doug discussed how the Ten Commandments were not put in place to make our life miserable or boring. They're supposed to serve as guardrails for living a Christ-centered life. Sadly, however, this is how we treat actual guardrails, which I think is a pretty accurate representation of how we treat the Ten Commandments. Now, this morning, Doug really put the pressure on me. With my mom and dad sitting a few rows back on the right, and also my preacher sitting right here, I'm going to analyze the fifth commandment on honoring your parents. So if you have your Bibles with you today, go ahead and flip over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. You might already be there with Doug's little pre-sermon here. But also a sidebar real quick. If you don't have your Bible with you today, start bringing it with you. I mean, it's kind of like trying to drive your car without the keys. Surely you can go ahead and put it in neutral and you can push it a little distance, but if you really want to go far, you need the critical tools to do so. This verse reads, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." As mentioned at the beginning of the series, the Ten Commandments are in a specific order, with the first four pertaining to our vertical relationship with Christ, and the last six pertaining to our horizontal relationship. With that in mind, the fifth commandment is the first reference to our horizontal relationship. And by no coincidence at all, family structure is the focal point. The family was the first institution created by God and is the most basic unit of society. Faith in God rises and falls with the family, and therefore, the family is under constant spiritual attack. The fifth commandment is reflected in the principles of almost every culture, no matter what their spiritual beliefs are. It is universally recognized that it is a universally recognized principle that children should honor and respect their parents. And to me, it seems quite simple. The parent gives the child life. Therefore, the child owes everything to their parent. This is naturally recognized all around the world and is built into the very fabric of life. Wherever you go, children are expected to honor their parents. Now, notice I said expected. It's disturbing to recognize that two of the distinguishing marks of today's culture with regard to the parent-child relationship are: one, an increasing loss of authority for the parent, and two, an increasing disrespect of parents from their children. We see loss of authority for the parent in many ways. Absentee parents, the rejection of authority promoted by permissive parenting styles, even government interference with some aspects pertaining to the rights of the child. The loss of respect for parents is tied to this loss of authority. It's also reflected and reinforced by, you guessed it, the media, which targets young people now more than ever. Just look at the change between television from the 1950s. Somewhere along the way, we went from Leave It to Beaver to Family Guy. Also, Homer and Bart Simpson are a whole different ballgame than Andy and Opie. The Bible tells us that disobedience to parents will actually be one of the signs of end times. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2 reads, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and disobedient to their parents." Sounds almost like 21st century America, doesn't it? The family of today is in deep trouble. But lucky for us, we have the greatest guide to navigate our earthly life. And one of the solutions is found right here in the fifth commandment. So as we break down the commandment, let's first take a look at the obligations. The first obligation is that children should honor their parents. So kids, listen up. First, you must respect their position over you as parents. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Each of you must respect his mother and father." You should show respect with your words, with your body language, with your attitude, not only when you are in their presence, but also when you are not. Let me read that one more time so it sinks in. You should show respect with your words, with your body language, with your attitude, not only when you are in their presence, but when you are not. A second way you honor your parents is by accepting their discipline and instruction. The book of Proverbs says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Lastly, a third way you honor your father and mother is by loving and valuing their person. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me your heart." This means not only must you respect their authority over you, you must also love them with all of your heart unconditionally. Now, I don't want to get too violent in the kids section, but this is the one that concerns me. Why is this so hard for some kids? Why is it that sometimes we treat our parents worse than we treat our friends, or even worse, our friends' parents? My recommendation to those of you that are like this is change. Be better. Love harder. Because one day, due to the very real wages of sin, you will not have that opportunity, and you'll live a life of regret. However, as a caveat to this, I do understand that there are some instances that are out of our control, and we must turn over to God. Abusive parents, absent parents, alcoholic or addicted parents. But you still have to love their person and realize that God is going to protect you. Sometimes, when you are in this situation, you actually have an even greater obligation than honoring your parents. You have to step up and change the course of history so that your kids have someone worth honoring. Many of you don't know this, but that's exactly what my parents did. My mom sat on more bar stools than booster seats as a toddler, and my dad was raised by an abusive father that committed suicide when he was 10 years old. It would have been so easy for them to throw in the towel and live the same kind of life, but they didn't. Now they sit in the same pew every Sunday with their kids and their spouses and their soon-to-be grandkids, Danielle, not me yet, all because they made a decision to direct their lives towards Christ. And with this, understand that Ezekiel 18:20 reads, "The one who sins is the one who will die. The son will not share the guilt of the parent." So, the first obligation is, children, honor their parents. But there's a second obligation. Parents, it's your turn to listen up. Parents have an obligation to help their children observe this command. Now, a disclaimer, I'm not a parent. However, I do not need to be a parent to teach about this. Because as mentioned above, I had two great models, and also the Bible makes it very, very clear. So here we go. First of all, instruct them in God's ways. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "Take God's commandments and impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up." This is one of the primary responsibilities as a parent. Too often in today's world, we spend more time on Facebook or at the local brewery than they do teaching the kids the Word of God. Then, to make things worse, parents are letting social media and video games raise their children. And all that those outlets promote are sex, violence, pro-choice, homosexuality, adultery, idolatry, and the list goes on and on and on. We wonder why kids are shooting up schools and changing their gender and getting pregnant at 15. It's because no one is willing to grab onto them and say, "Let me impress the Word of God on you." Secondly, here's a good one. Discipline your children. The book of Proverbs is full of good counsel on this, and it doesn't have to be negative discipline. Train a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Proverbs 22:15, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." Proverbs 29:15 and 17, The rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Thirdly, provide for your children's needs. The Apostle Paul says in one context that children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, the context is different, but the principle is the same. It says, it is the parents' responsibility to provide for their children's needs. By this, I mean physical needs, spiritual needs, and emotional needs. All of the items that I have listed here require both teaching and learning. In order to properly teach your child the Word of God, you must be well-versed as well. Fortunately, we live in a time period that being informed is so simple. There are devotional apps, Bible apps, spiritual podcasts, YouTube sermons, which some of you are probably wishing you were listening to right now, informational websites, Christian conferences, support groups, gospel music festivals. The opportunities are endless. I challenge you to gravitate towards one of these, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your children's life. Now, you might be wondering, why is this command so important? Why should I honor my parents? Well, God not only gives us commandments in Scripture, but he also gives us reasons why we should follow those commandments. Let me give you 6 quick reasons from the Bible on why you should honor your parents. First of all, it is right. That's what Ephesians 6 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Proverbs 23:22 says, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. We owe our parents our life and our gratitude. Parents sacrifice so much for their children, but we never really understand until we become parents ourselves. Secondly, it pleases God. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Notice you are to obey your parents not just because it pleases them, but because it pleases God. That takes honoring your parents from a worldly level clear up here to a spiritual level. A third reason why you should honor your parents is because it teaches you respect for authority. Romans 13 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Fourthly, it places you under God's protection. Proverbs 6 says, my son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them up in your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. I don't know about you guys, but that makes me feel like I'm wrapped in a blanket and makes me feel pretty comfortable. A fifth reason is because it brings peace and joy to your parents. Proverbs 23:24 reads, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. I think it's probably pretty safe to say that my parents are filled with joy as they watch me up here. And that's actually one of my biggest motivators. This is directly related to the second point that I made. If you are acting in a manner that brings joy to your parents, it will also bring joy to God. And then a sixth reason to honor your parents is it helps you grow in wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 4:1-4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. One of the greatest tools for learning is a good mentor. And if your parents are investing in the Word of God, their mentorship will lead you directly to Him. Isn't it nice that the Bible doesn't just give you one reason for why we should follow God's command? Now, that's not to say that we really need a whole list of reasons to listen to the creator of the universe, but it definitely helps. I think the reason God did this is because He knew how childish we would be in trying to understand His teachings. With this topic, I'm guessing it went something like this, and I'm sure some of you parents are used to this conversation. Hey, God, quick question for you. Why exactly is it that I need to obey my father and mother again? Well, son, because it's the right thing to do. Yeah, you know, I mean, I get that, but like, why? Well, son, because it makes me happy. Yeah, but why? Well, because it teaches you respect and honor and allows me to protect you. Why? Well, when my people are happy, I am happy. Okay. Have you ever noticed that God never simply says, because I said so? He grabs us by the hand and He says, let me show you why. I was sent a poem the other day that I think demonstrates God's guidance beautifully. This is how it reads. One night, I dreamed a dream as I walk along the beach with the Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said, once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand. When I needed you most, you left me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, that was when I carried you. Parents, this is what your children need. From the moment they are conceived in the mother's womb, you are their godlike figure. When your child is struggling to understand, be patient, kind, loving, supporting, and most importantly, present. Because that is exactly what Christ would do. And through that, your reward will be the honor and love that your child displays for you. So real quickly here as we wrap up today, I hope you aren't sitting here thinking, I don't think I need any of this. My parenting styles are fine. Or I'm pretty nice to my parents. Or I don't need any of this because my parents are meanie heads. Because the fifth commandment is critically important for proper functioning of the home. There are consequences for the home when we obey the fifth commandment. And there are consequences when we disobey. First, for the parents, this is a matter of joy or grief. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Second, for the child, it's a matter of life or death. Proverbs 4:4, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all of your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Proverbs 30:17 makes the same point, but in a pretty gruesome way. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by vultures. Now, kids, this means that your entry into the Lamb's Book of Life weighs in the balance of this commandment. Lastly, for the household, it's a matter of harmony or strife. Proverbs 17:1-2 highlights the importance of harmony in the home. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Unfortunately, too many homes are filled with unnecessary conflict and strife simply because parents and children do not follow the fifth commandment. Micah 7:6 describes an extreme example of what many people are likely facing today in their homes. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. God meant for the home to be a place of peace and refuge from the attacks of the world outside. But for many people today, the home has become a daily battleground and a combat zone instead. What a shame. If you are experiencing strife at home, bring that strife to God and ask Him to help change the atmosphere in your home. Finally, as we close today, God has attached two great promises to following the fifth commandment: live long and live well. You may have missed it in the first reading, so I will read it again. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 reads, honor your father and mother, so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Once again, this promise is mentioned in a few other locations as well, so we don't just have one verse to go to. Deuteronomy 5:16 reads, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Ephesians 6:2-3, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Simply put, life goes better for those who honor their parents. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for allowing us to be here today and safely worship you and to really dive into the fifth commandment and learn, you know, what it is that we're doing well or what it is that we're missing in our lives and how we can direct that more towards what you have designed it to be. Father, I pray that if there are people in the congregation that need your help, that your hand is over them and that you are constantly guiding them, and that when they see those footprints in the sand, they realize that when there is only one, it's because you are there carrying them along the way. Father, I just thank you for giving us all the opportunities that you do that we don't deserve to correct ourselves. As we dive into your word, I pray that we spend more time in it, that we practice it, and that we teach it to those around us. I thank you for blessing this church in all the ways that you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In conclusion, remember that we cannot keep any of the Ten Commandments in our own strength. We need God's help to keep his commandments. And we need God's forgiveness for when we fail. Today we are going to sing a song of commitment. And if you are here and you are wanting to become a better father, mother, son, or daughter, by committing your life to Christ, please join me down front. I may not be Doug, but I would love nothing more than to start that journey with you.